This is Library on the Go, brought to you by the Cortez Public Library as part of our program to improve childhood literacy. I'm Ms. Laura.
And I'm Ms. Barbara.
And today Ms. Barbara's going to catch you up a little bit on The Wind on the Willows and continue on.
Well, actually, we're going to finish The Wind in the Willows today. So this is the end of The Wind in the Willows by Kenneth Graham. And before we get back and review what happened last week, we came across a word, stoats, and I wasn't totally sure of what it was, so I looked it up to make sure. A stoat is a weasel, or like the weasel and the ferret, they're all the same family group. But stoats are light brown or tan during the winter, during the summertime, but in the winter they turn white. And their fur, their white fur, was greatly prized by royalty in their capes, etc. Having ermine on the cape was a necessity. So that's what a stoat is. And if you remember last week, after being thrown in the river by the barge woman, Toad sought revenge by stealing her horse. When he came to a gypsy, he sold him the horse for money and food. He continued towards home when he heard a car coming. He was going to ask for a ride when he realized it was the car he had stolen. The gentleman didn't recognize him and picked him up. He persuaded them to let him drive and then told them who he was. He crashed the car and ran off. Soon he was being chased by policemen, and trying to flee, he fell into the river. The current carried him downstream until he was able to grab into a hole in the bank. It was Ratty's home, and after getting cleaned up and telling Ratty about his adventures, Rat told him that the stoats, ferrets, and weasels had taken over Toad Hall. No one thought Toad would ever come back. Toad was going to drive them out, despite Rat trying to stop him. He was almost shot, tried the river, and had stoats crash a rock through Rat's boat. Ratty was angry about losing his boat, and he told Toad they had to see Mole and Badger, who were watching Toad Hall. But dinner time came first. They had just finished their meal when there came a heavy knock at the door, and in walked Mr. Badger. His shoes were covered with mud, and he was looking rough and tousled. But then he'd never been very smart, Badger. He came solemnly up to Toad, shook him by the paw, and said, "Welcome home, Toad." Then he helped himself to a large slice of cold pie. Presently there came another lighter knock, and the rat ushered in the mole, very shabby and unwashed, with bits of hay and straw sticking in his fur. "Toad," Mole cried, beaming, "fancy having you back. We never dreamt you would turn up so soon. Why, you must have managed to escape, you clever toad." The rat pulled him by the elbow, but it was too late.
"Clever? Oh, no," said Toad. "Not according to my friends. I've only broken out of the strongest prison in England, that's all, and captured a railway train and escaped on it, that's all, and disguised myself and gone about the country humbugging everybody, that's all. Oh, no, I'm a stupid ass, I am."
He straddled the hearthrug, thrust his paws into his pocket, and pulled out a handful of silver.
"And look at that," he cried, displaying it. "Not bad for a few minutes' work. And how do you think I done it, Mole? Horse stealing, that's how."
"Toad, be quiet," said the rat, "and don't you egg him on, Mole, when you know what he is. Tell us what the position is now that Toad is back at last."
"Well, it's about as bad as it can be," replied Mole. "Badger and I have been round and round the place. Always the same thing. Sentries posted everywhere. Guns poked out at us. Always an animal on the lookout. And when they see us, my, how they laugh. That's what annoys me most."
The badger, having finished his pie, got up from his seat and stood before the fireplace.
"Toad," he said severely, "you bad little animal. Aren't you ashamed of yourself? Think what your father would have said if he had been here tonight and known of all your goings-on." "What Mole says is true. The stoats are on guard at every point.
It's quite useless to think of attacking the place.
Then it's all over, sobbed the toad. I shall go and enlist for a soldier and never see my dear Toad Hall any more.
Cheer up, Toady, said the badger. There are more ways of getting back a place than taking it by storm. I haven't said my last word yet. Now I'm going to tell you a secret. Toad dried his eyes. Secrets had an immense attraction for him, because he could never keep one. There is an underground passage, said the badger impressively, that leads from the riverbank quite near here, right up into the middle of Toad Hall.
Nonsense, badger, said Toad airily. You've been listening to some of the yarns they spin in the public houses about here. I know every inch of Toad Hall, inside and out. Nothing of the sort, I do assure you.
My young friend, said the badger with severity, your father, who was a worthy animal, a lot worthier than some I know, was a particular friend of mine and told me a great deal he wouldn't have dreamt of telling you. He discovered that passage. Of course, it was made hundreds of years before he ever came to live there, and he repaired it and cleaned it out because it thought it might come in useful some day in case of trouble or danger, and he showed it to me. Don't let my son know about it, he said. He's a good boy, but simply cannot hold his tongue. If he's ever in a real fix, and it would be of use of him, you may tell him about the secret passage, but not before. The other animals looked to see how Toad would take it.
Well, he said, perhaps I am a bit of a talker, a popular fellow such as I am. My friends get round me, and somehow my tongue gets wagging. I have the gift of conversation. I've been told I ought to have a salon, whatever that may be. Go on, badger. How's this passage of yours going to help us?
I've found out a thing or two lately, continued the badger. There's going to be a big banquet tomorrow night. It's somebody's birthday, the chief weasel's, I believe. And all the weasels will be gathering in the dining hall, eating and drinking and carrying on, suspecting nothing. No guns, no swords, no sticks, no arms of any sort whatever.
But the sentinels will be posted as usual, remarked the rat.
Exactly, said the badger. That is my point. The weasels will trust entirely to their sentinels. That is where the passage comes in. That useful tunnel leads right up under the butler's pantry next to the dining hall.
Aha, that squeaky board in the butler's pantry, said Toad. Now I understand it.
We shall creep out into the pantry, cried Mole.
With our pistols, swords, and sticks, shouted the rat.
And rush in upon them, said Badger.
And whack 'em,
cried the toad in ecstasy, running round and round the room.
Very well, then, said Badger. Our plan is settled, and there's nothing more to argue about. So as it's getting late, all of you go off to bed at once. We'll make the necessary arrangements in the morning. I think I'll let Miss Laura do a station break here.
Thank you, Miss Barbara. This is Library on the Go on KSJD Cortez at 91.5, KZET Toyoc at 90.5, and KICO Rico at 89.5. We are also heard in Mancos at 91.1 and in Pleasant View at 90.9. KSJD is member-supported, solar-powered community radio, heard across the Four Corners area from Rico to Shiprock, Mancos to Kayenta, and beyond. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on the web at ksjd.org. And please like us on Facebook. We're very friendly. At least I am.
Yeah, I bite.
I bite. And we also wanted to remind you about 20, please. Read to a child. The most important 20 minutes of your day. And more about the stoats, the weasels, and the
ferrets
in Toad Hall.
Toad slept late next morning, and by the time he got down, found the other animals had finished their breakfast some time before. The mole had slipped off by himself without telling anyone where he was going. The badger sat in the armchair reading the paper, and the rat was running around the room busily, distributing weapons in four little heaps on the floor. Presently, the mole came tumbling into the room, evidently pleased with himself. "I've been having such fun," he began. "I've been getting a rise out of the stoats."
"I hope you've been careful, mole," said the rat.
"I hope so, too," said the mole. "I got the idea when I found Toad's old washerwoman dress hanging in the kitchen. I put it on, and off I went to Toad Hall, as bold as you please.
'Good morning, gentlemen,' says I. 'Want any washing done today?'
They looked at me very proud and stiff and haughty and said,
'Go away, washerwoman. We don't do washing on duty.'
'Or any other time?' says I. Oh, some of the stoats turned quite pink, and the sergeant said, 'Run away, my good woman. Run away,' said I. 'It won't be me running away in a very short time from now.'
'Oh, moly, how could you?' said the rat, dismayed.
The badger laid down his paper. I could see them pricking up their ears and looking at each other, went on the mole, and the sergeant said to them, 'Never mind her. She doesn't know what she's talking about.'
'Oh, don't I?' said I.
'Well, my daughter washes for Mr. Badger, and that'll show you whether I know. 100 bloodthirsty badgers are going to attack Toad Hall this very night by way of the paddock. 6 boatloads of rats will come up the river with a picked body of toads known as the diehards, or the death or glory toads. We'll storm the orchard and carry everything before them. There won't be much left of you to wash by the time they're done with you.' Then I ran away and hid, and presently I came creeping back along the ditch and took a peek at them through the hedge. They were all nervous as they could be, running all ways at once, and I heard them saying, 'That's just like the weasels. They're to stop comfortably in the banqueting hall and have feasting and songs and all sorts of fun, while we must stay on guard in the cold and dark and be cut to pieces by bloodthirsty badgers.'
'You silly ass, mole,' cried Toad. 'You've been and spoiled everything.'
'Mole,' said the badger, 'you have managed excellently. I begin to have great hopes for you. Clever mole.' The toad was wild with jealousy, especially as he couldn't make out for the life of him what the mole had done that was so clever. Fortunately for him, before he could show temper, the bell rang for luncheon. It was a simple but sustaining meal, bacon and broad beans and a macaroni pudding, and when they had done, the badger settled himself into an armchair and said, 'I'm just going to take 40 winks while I can,' and he was soon snoring. The anxious rat resumed his preparations, running between his heaps. So the mole drew his arm through Toad's, led him into the open air, and shoved him into a wicker chair, and made him tell all his adventures from beginning to end. Toad rather let himself go. Indeed, much he related more belonged to the category of what might have happened had I only thought of it in time instead of 10 minutes afterwards. Those are always the best and the raciest adventures, and why should they not be ours as much as things that really came off? When it began to grow dark, the rat summoned them back into the parlor, stood each of them alongside his little heap, and proceeded to dress them up for the coming expedition. First, there was a belt to go around each animal, then a sword to be stuck into each belt, and then a cutlass on the other side to balance it, then a pair of pistols, a policeman's truncheon, several sets of handcuffs, some bandages and sticking plaster, and a flask and a sandwich case. The badger laughed and said, 'I'm going to do all I've got to do with this here stick.' But the rat only said,
please, Badger. You know I shouldn't like you to say I've forgotten anything.
When all was quite ready, the Badger took a lantern in one paw, grasped his great stick with the other, and said, Now then, follow me. The Badger led the animals along by the river for a little way, and then into a hole in the bank. At last they were in the secret passage, and the expedition had begun. It was low and narrow, and Toad began to shiver from dread of what might be before him. The lantern was far ahead, and he could not help lagging behind in the darkness. He heard the rat call out, Come on, Toad! And a terror seized him of being left alone, and he came on with such a rush that he upset the rat into the mole, and the mole into the Badger, and all was confusion. They groped and shuffled along, with their ears pricked up and their paws on their pistols, till at last the Badger said, We ought to be nearly under the hall. Then suddenly they heard, far away as it might be, and yet nearly over their heads, shouting and cheering and stamping on the floor. Toad's terrors all returned, but the Badger only remarked, They are going it, the weasels. The passage now began to slope upwards, and the noise broke out again, quite distinct this time, and very, very close above them.
Hooray, 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 hooray,
they heard, and the stamping of feet on the floor, and the clinking of glasses as fists pounded on the table. Come on, said the Badger. They hurried along till the passage came to a full stop, and they found themselves standing under the trap door that led up into the butler's pantry. The Badger said, Now, boys, all together, and they heaved the trap door back. As they emerged, the noise was simply deafening. As the cheering and hammering slowly subsided, a voice could be made out saying,
Before I resume my seat, I should like to say one word about our kind host, Mr. Toad. We all know Toad, good Toad, modest Toad, honest Toad.
Let me get at him, muttered Toad, grinding his teeth.
Excuse me. Hold hard a minute, said Badger, restraining him with difficulty. Get ready, all of you.
Let me sing you a song, went on the voice, which I have composed on the subject of Toad.
Sorry, I've got a frog in my throat again.
Yuck, yuck.
a frog instead of a toad. Then the chief weasel, for it was him, began in a high, squeaky voice.
Toad, he went a-pleasuring gaily down the street.
The Badger drew himself up, took a firm grip of his stick, and cried, Follow me, and flung the door open. My, what a squealing and squawking filled the air. Well might the weasels spring at the windows. Well might the ferrets rush through the chimney. Well might the tables and chairs be upset, and glass and china be sent crashing on the floor. In the panic of that terrible moment when the four heroes strode into the room. The mighty Badger, his whiskers bristling, his great cudgel whistling through the air. Mole, black and grim, brandishing his stick, shouting his awful war cry, A mole! A mole! Rat, desperate and determined, his belt bulging with weapons of every age and variety. And Toad, swollen to twice his ordinary size, emitting toad hoops that chilled them to the marrow.
Toad, you went a-pleasuring, he yelled. I'll pleasure him. And he went straight for the chief weasel.
Up and down strode the four friends, whacking every head that showed itself. And in 5 minutes, the room was cleared. Through the broken windows, the shrieks of escaping weasels were borne faintly to their ears. On the floor lay some dozen or so of the enemy, on whom the mole was busily engaged in fitting handcuffs. The Badger wiped his brow. Mole, he said, you're the best of fellows. Just cut along outside and see what those sentries are doing. I have an idea, thanks to you, we won't have much trouble from them. Then he said in that rather common way he had of speaking, Stir your stumps, Toad. We've got your house back for you, and you don't offer us so much as a sandwich. Toad felt hurt that the badger didn't say pleasant things to him as he had to the mole and tell him what a fine fellow he was and how splendidly he had fought, for he was rather pleased with himself and the way he had sent the chief weasel flying across the table. But he bustled about, and so did the rat, and soon they found some guava jelly in a glass dish and a cold chicken, some trifle, and quite a lot of lobster salad. And in the pantry they came upon a basket of French rolls and any quantity of cheese, butter, and celery. They were just about to sit down when the mole clambered in through the window, chuckling with an armful of rifles. "It's all over," he reported. "From what I can make out, as soon as the stoats, who were very nervous and jumpy already, heard the shrieks inside the hall, they threw down their rifles and fled. So that's all right." Then Toad, like the gentleman he was, put all jealousy from him and said,
"Thank you, Mole, for your trouble tonight, and especially for your cleverness this morning."
So they finished their supper in great joy and contentment, safe in Toad's ancestral home, won back by matchless valor, consummate strategy, and a proper handling of sticks. And after this climax, the four animals continued to lead their lives undisturbed by further invasions. Sometimes, in the long summer evenings, the friends would take a stroll together in the wild wood, now tamed so far as they were concerned, and it was pleasing to see how respectfully they were greeted by the inhabitants. Mother weasels would bring their young ones to the mouths of their holes and say, pointing,
"Look, there goes the great Mr. Toad, and that's the water rat, a terrible fighter, and yonder comes the famous Mr. Mole, of whom you've heard your father tell."
But when their infants were fractious and quite beyond control, they would quiet them by telling how, if they didn't hush, the terrible gray badger would up and get them. This was a base libel on Badger, who, though he cared little about society, was rather fond of children. But it never failed to have its full effect. The end.
That's like, wait till your father gets home. Yeah.
Which is the father. Wrong thing to say.
Oh, thank you, Miss Barbara. Those were wonderful adventures. Did you have anything else to finish out the half hour?
I do. Okay. I have something that is very familiar to all of us, at least the first part of it. Now, this is the three little kittens, which I think we all know, that lost their mittens. The author is anonymous. And I knew the first part of this, but some of this I don't recall ever having heard. Or if I did, I've totally forgotten it.
I know neither. I didn't.
When you printed it
out? Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is the three little kittens. The three little kittens, they lost their mittens, and they began to cry. "Oh, Mommy dear, we sadly fear our mittens we have lost."
"What? Lost your mittens? You naughty kittens. Then you shall have no pie."
Meow, 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 meow.
The three little kittens then sought their mittens upon the table high. Indoors and out they scampered about, for they were very spry. Now high, now low, now three in a row, and oh, how they made things fly.
Meow, 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 meow.
The three little kittens found their mittens, and they began to cry.
"Oh, Mommy dear, see here, our mittens we have found."
"What? Found your mittens? You darling kittens, then you shall have some pie."
Purr, 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 purr. The three little kittens put on their mittens and soon ate up the pie.
"Oh, Mommy dear, we sadly fear our mittens we have soiled."
"What? Soiled your mittens, you naughty kittens."
Then they began to sigh.
Meow, 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 meow.
The three little kittens washed their mittens and hung them up to dry.
"Oh, Mommy dear, look here, our mittens we have washed."
"What? Washed your mittens? You good little kittens.
But I hear a rat, smell a rat close by. Hush now."
Mew, 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 mew.
These kittens so gay were invited one day to feast by a running stream, where they had as much meat as they wanted to eat and plenty of nice ice cream. And each went to sleep curled up in a heap and had a most lovely dream. Purr, 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 purr. One night in the fall, they went to a ball and danced to a lively tune, with a leap and a bound and a merry-go-round and the sound of a big bassoon. And with holes in their mittens, these careless kittens came home by the light of the moon. Meow, 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 meow. These kittens, 'twas said, were soon to be wed. The cards had been out some days, and catbirds, no doubt, spread the news about as they flew over the great highways. And cats, one and all, the great and the small, were loud in the kittens' praise. Meow, 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 meow. At last came the day, and in splendid array the guests soon began to arrive, the aunts and the cousins by sixes and dozens, all buzzing like bees in a hive. And among them Sir Rouser, a famous old mouser, and the handsomest Maltese alive. Purr, 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 purr. Then after the marriage, each groom called his carriage, and oh, they rode off in fine style, the brides beaming brightly and bowing politely to friends every once in a while, who kept up a squalling and a great caterwauling that might have been heard for a mile. Meow, 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 meow. The guests kept on dancing, now leaping and prancing. The band still continued to play. And Puss in the Corner and Little Jack Horner were games very much in their way. With singing and screeching and laughter far-reaching, they had a good time, I dare say. Meow, 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 meow. The three pretty brides and their husbands besides took rooms in a very nice flat. Not a rat nor a mouse was e'er seen in the house, nor anyone heard to cry scat. So they lived and looked pleased, and they were petted, not teased. Now what do you think of that? Purr, 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 purr.
You guys didn't know the rest of that, did you?
I sure didn't.
Yeah. What was the last that we usually heard as kids? It was washing their mittens.
Washing their mittens, yeah, I think. Yeah. Yeah.
And then it went on. Thank you for joining us. We have story times every Thursday at 10:30, and we air here every Sunday at 3:30. And join us next week. I don't know what Miss Barbara's going to read, but it'll be good. Thank you.